celebrating classics and creating new ones. Only on the Music Vibes Podcast. Now, here's your host, DC Hendrix.
And welcome in. This is the Music Vibes Podcast. I'm your host, DC Hendrix. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up. We had a new review, another 5-star rating. You can give us a rating as well. Just scroll down on Apple Podcasts, click the words write a review, and let us know just like that what you're thinking. This week, we're going to be joined by Jeff Slate. He has a brand new live album that he recorded acoustically as we are all stuck at home with this whole pandemic that we're in. He has a brand new album coming out August 14th, and it's going to be called Lockdown Live. Acclaimed New York City singer-songwriter Jeff Slate, of course, also we know him as well as music journalist. He does a lot of stuff for Rockseller Magazine. I want to start there, Jeff, but first of all, just want to welcome you back to the podcast, Music Vibes. Welcome back. How you feeling?
Always good to be here. Thanks. I'm feeling pretty good. It's a weird time, but I'm doing okay. How are you, DC?
Yeah, I tried to sound that as positive as possible. You know, it's been rough, man. It really has this year. You know, bringing in the new year, you know, partying a little bit, thinking this was going to be my year. This was it. This is going to be a great year, 2020. And it just seems like, I know we had a couple of deaths early on in the start of the new year, and it just started with that. And it's just been nothing but bad news ever since then, just every day. So,
yeah, I think you and I spoke right at the beginning of the pandemic. I don't remember what the occasion was, but I do remember speaking to you. And not a lot has changed. It's still pretty freaky here in New York City. But, you know, you just got to keep on keeping on and keep your head down and try to not get too overwhelmed. I think that's the key. Be as safe as possible. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I had you, let me see. I got to think back here. Was it the... No, that wasn't it. Was it the... It was the bracket, wasn't it? Didn't I have you on for the bracket?
Oh, it was. It was the bracket. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the Music Vibes greatest album of all time bracket that you weren't a huge fan of. You came on for the Elite Eight pod. That's episode.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's, just complained for 20 minutes. There you go.
Pretty much. You were not a fan of the bracket, so...
No.
So, since then, and that was back... Wow, April. It's been that long.
Yeah.
For four months. So 4 months back then and now. How has everything been treating you? Anything different at all for you?
Well, it's better here in New York City. I mean, New York State and New York City have done, went through the worst of it, the absolute worst of it. And then because people took it very, very seriously here, it got better. And I think the great thing is people continue to take it seriously. I mean, if you go out, everybody has a mask on. Everybody's staying away from each other. Pretty much everything is still, you know, shut down or, you know, the service is changed. It's different. Like, you know, you can't sit in a restaurant, but you can sit outside and so on and so forth. But, you know, I will say it's most... a lot of people have left New York City. A lot of businesses have left New York City. And frankly, I don't know if any of them are coming back ever, if not, you know, anytime soon. So it's, you know, I lived through the 80s here and the 90s, and it's a little bit like that. You know, at night, you have to keep your wits about you. And it's, you know, the homeless situation is out of control, and the cops are a little out of control too. So, you know, I mean, I went by Union Square Park a week or two ago, and there were more cops than protesters. So, you know, it's a weird, they're ready for anything. But, you know, we'll see how it evolves over the next couple of months. I think until after the election, we won't really know what the next steps are. I think that's not to get political, but I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And, you know, before we even get to, I know one thing that you've been up to during this whole pandemic, and we'll get to that in just a second. And I mean, is there anything you don't do, Jeff? I mean, you're a singer-songwriter. You're still doing interviews for Rockseller Magazine. I wanted you to plug, you know, because you've still been doing great work with Rockseller. I wanted to promote that as well. So what are some of the interviews and some of the work that you've done as a journalist as well?
Well, I just interviewed Phoebe Bridgers for the Wall Street Journal. That'll be out on August 15th.
Okay.
So I write for them pretty regularly. I do Rockseller, as you say, pretty regularly. I had the cover last month with Paul Weller and this month with the Go-Go's. I write for the Daily Beast an awful lot. I interviewed, who did I interview recently? Bob Geldof and a couple of other, Paul Weller as well. And so, you know, I've done some liner notes for projects that are coming out in the fall. I'm working on a book with a pretty famous guitar slinger that's coming out hopefully next year. I mean, you know, things are strange right now. I had a lot of projects lined up like you. You know, at the beginning of the year, it seemed like it was going to be a great year. Mm-hmm. There were going to be a lot of gigs and a lot of projects, and they all disappeared pretty much within 1 week in March when everything hit the fan. Everything just disappeared. So sort of slowly clawing back from that like everybody else.
And I've really been enjoying your Instagram live videos, and that brings us to the absolute reason why we brought you on here today. I definitely got to talk and promote Lockdown Live. Jeff, go ahead and tell us everything about Lockdown Live. I know it's featuring performances from your streaming concert series out everywhere August 14th, but tell us more about it.
Well, you know, like everybody else, I was stuck at home, and here in New York City, you really couldn't go out at all in late March and early April. Mm-hmm. And a few friends, musician friends of mine, and I were talking about doing concerts and how we might do that and so on. And a few people had tried Instagram and Facebook, and it worked okay, YouTube as well. I settled on doing a weekly show every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, on Facebook Live, and then also streaming it on Instagram Live at the same time. That worked better for me than I think YouTube has for some people. The quality is a bit better, and the sound quality is a bit better. And just because I was doing them, I was recording them because I have a little studio here at the apartment, and I thought, well, I'll just, you know, record them and maybe put a free song up on the web or, you know, whatever. And they took off really quickly. I went from having a couple of hundred people watching to a couple of thousand people watching pretty quickly, and people requesting songs. And I played, you know, over the course of the first couple of months, I think I played about 100 different songs. And then people started saying, well, where can we buy this? And then it became work because there were certain songs I didn't get the best versions of, so I had to try and play them a couple of different times, and I didn't want to fake it. I didn't want to record them when I wasn't streaming them live. So, I started compiling the best of those with an engineer I work with completely remotely. We did it on, you know, iPad and FaceTime and the whole thing, and I had about 5 hours of music, and we whittled that down to 43 songs, which is, I guess, about a dozen or so of my originals, covers from everybody from Tom Petty and John Prine to Lord Huron and Marvin Gaye, and then there's a whole disc, it's a two-disc set, and there's a whole disc of Bob Dylan covers, because 1 or 2 weeks, because it was Dylan's birthday in May, I just did all Bob Dylan, because there were so many requests for Dylan songs. So, the first disc is my music and some covers that were people requested or that they were their favorites. And then the other disc is, you know, Dylan, everything from Mr. Tambourine Man and Lonesome Death of Hetty Carroll to Idiot Wind and Ring Them Bells. I mean, I did them all. 43 songs, you're getting a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and you did Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. That was one of my personal favorites, My Dolly. You did really good on side one, and I wanted to focus on disc two real quick because I know we've not really bumped heads on Bob Dylan before, but definitely on opposite sides of the spectrum, and I know he's very influential for you, and that's why you did 19 songs for Bob Dylan on disc two. And just explain his influence on you as a musician.
Well, you know, I had older brothers and sisters, and I inherited their records, and I was really taken by especially his early music, and then when I got a little older, discovered, you know, Blood on the Tracks and some of the 70s stuff, and saw him with Tom Petty in the 80s, and that was a pretty magical concert, just because they were both so, you know, huge, it loomed so large in the popular culture, especially for me. And over the years, you know, I started to appreciate more and more as I dug into the bootlegs and the outtakes and all the other stuff, you know, just the, not just the volume of it, but the quality of it and the poetry of it. You know, I mean, he's touched on every genre of music from gospel and country to rock and roll and boogie woogie. So, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of everything in there. But, you know, he has something to say, even if it doesn't, you know, if it seems a little bit of a curveball. There's, when you start to perform the songs, you realize there's always a story there and there's always something he's trying to say. And when you put it up against other people's music, you know, it's better. I mean, the lyrics are better and the, the songwriting is better, and other people may have catchier songs or songs that stick with you longer, but, you know, this guy's got, I don't know, 500, 1,000, I don't know, whatever it is, songs that are all at a really high caliber of songwriting. So it's, you know, as a performer and a you know, wannabe songwriter myself, it's a challenge to tackle a Bob Dylan song like Idiot Wind. You know, when I did the liner notes for his Blood on the Tracks box set last year, and I wrote about how, you know, performing Idiot Wind as a young guy was a daunting task, and people would clap just because you got through all the words. It's 7 minutes long. But, you know, now I try to approach it, you know, there's a performance there. It's not just remembering the words. So it's a challenge, and I think that's part of it. As much as the quality of the music, it's challenging, you know, for the performer and the listener too, I think, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, so let's not completely undersell yourself here, Jeff. You said wannabe songwriter. Didn't you win some kind of award?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten ASCAP. I'm an ASCAP writer, and I've gotten a few awards from them, and I've been,
I mean, come on.
You know, you know, I've done okay. And you know, my partly because of doing these shows and because I've been more visible as a performer in the last couple of years, my Spotify streams are up and my YouTube streams are up, and that's very gratifying. I mean, I that's what I'd been doing long before I was a rock and roll journalist. I was a musician and I was a songwriter. I only sort of fell into writing about music because in the mid-2000s, you know, last 10 or 15 years, the music business really changed and it was harder to make a living just as a performer and songwriter. And so I had to supplement my income a little bit, and writing about music and the people that I'd come to know as, you know, from being a performer, made it easy. And so I, you know, it's a balance. Some months it's 70-30 performing and some months it's 70-30 writing. And, you know, but at the end of the year, it always feels about 50-50, and that's okay. I can, you know, I can pay the bills, and I'm lucky to be able to do that. I don't have to work in a record store, and I don't have to work at a guitar center, and I don't have to, you know, wait tables. And God love people who do that in order to you know, further their art. But I'm lucky. I have something else I can do that allows me to constantly be in touch with music and the creative arts, whether that's my own or somebody else's, and all of it I find inspiring. So I've been very fortunate in that regard.
Of course, we're talking to Jeff Slade as we're talking Lockdown Live. His brand new live CD will be available everywhere August 14th. And I wanted to make sure that we talked about this as well, as you've been donating 100% of the proceeds from the sales and merchandise. And I wanted to give you the floor to talk about who you've been donating to, what you've been donating, and give you the floor on that, because that is amazing.
Well, thank you. You know, the first couple of weeks, I was sort of kicking the tires with the street. You know, I started them on, I think, April 9th. That was a long time ago. But, you know, you can hear, when we were listening back to the recordings, you can hear sirens nonstop in the background on those early shows. New York was pretty hairy back then. And so around that time, I noticed a charity had been set up in my neighborhood called Meals of Gratitude. They were bringing lunches and late meals to healthcare workers at Mount Sinai Hospital, which is right around the corner from me, where when I did get outside, there were lines around the block of people who were very, very sick with COVID-19. So I decided I would donate. You know, if anybody made a donation or bought a piece of merch, whether that's the Roy Orbison book I bought or one of the liner notes I'd written or any of my CDs or t-shirts or whatever, you know, those weren't costing me anything. So I would give 100% of that. I would chip in the shipping because, you know, why not? That's my donation. And, you know, there were weeks we raised $500, $600, $700, $800 for the charity. And then things eased up in New York City. And so right around that same time, George Floyd was killed, Ahmaud Arbery was killed, Breonna Taylor was killed. There was sort of this, you know, movement rose out of seemingly nothing. All of a sudden, everybody was talking about Black Lives Matter and social justice and these killings. And I thought, well, you know, this is something I can do that feels good for me and brings a little awareness to these causes. And so the first week I did it, I was a little tentative because you always, whenever you take a political stand or a seemingly political stand, I didn't think it was political, but my manager, of course, pointed out to me, not everybody agrees. I thought there'd be pushback, and there wasn't. Everybody was 100% supportive, and the donations went through the roof. And so I was able to give money to Black Lives Matter and the North Star Fund, who's working on the defund the police movement, and some of these Justice for Elijah Taylor and some of these other things around, as well as a local charity here called the Black Artist Fund, which is started by the 1011 magazine, which is here in Chelsea in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And they give grants to Black artists.
Wow.
So and I know some of the guys and women too who have gotten those grants. So I, you know, it isn't much when you divvy it up and you're giving sort of $50 or $100 to each of these causes. It doesn't feel like much, but week after week it adds up and it's something, and they're appreciative. But I think also, you know, I like talking about it. I like mentioning it. I like, you know, bringing it up as something for people to talk about, because I know, you know, my fan base is a little older and a little whiter than probably a lot of artists, and I think it's good for people to hear that point of view and to, you know, educate themselves. I got an email. One of the negative emails I got was from a woman who works for a charity who pointed out, you know, Black Lives Matter isn't a charitable service and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And, you know, that was debunked. That was a Fox News story and a Daily Caller story that had been debunked. So I sent her the article debunking it, and she was appreciative. Mm. That I, you know, I didn't yell at her. I didn't, you know, block her. I didn't, you know, whatever. I just wanted her to know that that wasn't true, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that it was more complicated than that, and that this was a story that had been debunked in the mainstream press and legitimately so. And, you know, I'm still going to give my money there, so if she doesn't want to give her money, that's fine, too. But it's been great. So anybody who goes on my site and buys something off jeffslatehq.com, whether it's Lockdown Live or the T-shirts or, you know, any of my CDs, 100% of the profits from those go to the social justice causes and also some climate crisis causes that I've been donating to. And, you know, if you just want to give, I have a Venmo link on my Facebook event page and in my bio on Instagram via my link tree, and people can find my Venmo. And if you give, I'll send you something, I'll sign it, whatever you choose from my merch. But all of that money will go to those causes. So it's, you know, it feels good at a time when not much feels very good.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely fantastic. And I'll make sure to throw those links as well for people to donate in the link in the description. Just scroll on down and you can donate just below here as it's in the description of this podcast. So make it pretty easy for everyone. And you're
beautiful.
I wanted to highlight that because the music nerd in me, and you're donating signed copies of releases by the Beatles and Bob Dylan. I'm like, what? Come on, Jeff. Come on, man.
I think I'm out of most of those. Oh. But, yeah, you know, I worked on Sgt. Pepper a couple of years ago. I worked on the Blood on the Tracks box a few years ago. You know, I had a few laying around here. Why not give them to somebody?
Right.
You know, I had a guy give $100, and he didn't want anything. I had to talk him into taking. I said, take a Roy Orbison book. Take something, please.
Take something.
and you know, finally I got him to take a T-shirt and a book and, you know, whatever. But, you know, people just, they're at home too, and they're not able to do very much but follow the news and kind of feel bad. Most people can't attend a protest or don't feel safe doing that or, you know, but they want to be part of what's going on. And I find that making those these donations and, you know, everybody pooling those donations so that their $10 becomes part of $100 that goes somewhere feels pretty good. And it feels good for me as an artist to be, you know, the artist that I, you know, the music I play, whether it's John Lennon or Bob Dylan or Marvin Gaye, like you mentioned, you know, they were writing about their times. Sadly, those songs, Revolution, What's Going On, Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, you know, those songs still have resonance today. Sadly so. And so if I'm still singing them and they still are relevant, we need to be doing something about that. And it does feel like a moment where things are happening, particularly at the state and local level. And that's been heartening, I think.
Absolutely. Lockdown Live by Jeff Slate will be available everywhere August 14th. Jeff, really appreciate the time, man. I'm going to kick back and enjoy some more of the vibes, man. That's pretty much what you get from this album. Kick back and enjoy it. Some stay at home, you know, acoustic tunes for you. So I wanted to give you the floor today as we're getting ready to drop the needle, sponsored by 20 Past 4 and More, located at 2014 Broadway Street. I wanted to give you the floor. So you got one song. I'm going to let you drop the needle on one of the songs off Lockdown Live.
Well, while I've been here stuck at home, I've been making a record. That was something that started just recently. I've got guys from Nick Mason's band and Paul Weller's band and Earl Slick, my buddy, is playing on it. That'll be out at some point, you know, single probably in the fall and a record next year. But I will send a shout out to my buddy Earl Slick, and you can play one of the songs we play together often. Why don't you play, let's see, how about Knocking on Heaven's Door?
Knocking on Heaven's Door. Let's drop the needle.
Mama, take this badge off of me. Well, I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark too dark to see. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. But knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. knocking on heaven's door. Your mama put my guns in the ground. Well, I can't shoot them anymore. That black train is coming down. Yeah, I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Wipe the blood from my face. Well, I can't see through it anymore. I need someone to talk to, a new hiding place. And I feel like I'm knocking on.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on here today on the Music Vibes Podcast. Appreciate it as always. Great stuff, man. Keep staying safe, staying healthy, and I'm going to be joining this album, man. Lockdown Live. Good stuff.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. I do really appreciate it.
Time Travel with DC Hendrix on the Music Vibes Podcast. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify on your mobile device.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.